Have you ever wondered what goes on back in the sacristy prior to Mass? Are the priests back there spending time in hours of deep contemplation, singing Gregorian chant, perhaps levitating in anticipation of the Mass? Well, in full disclosure, let me just give you a few snippets of what you might hear back in the sacristy. The batteries are dead in the microphone. Has anyone seen fresh batteries? Mr. X, you're serving today. Have you ever run a comb or a brush through your hair since you got up this morning? Have the lectors or the extraordinary ministers checked in yet? Mr. Y, I think your cassock is about a foot too short. Please go change and do it quickly. We've got to get going. I still haven't heard from the lectors. Who's on the schedule? We only have two servers so far. Can someone go check and see if there's anyone out there that's dressed properly to serve? Are the candles lit? Are the torches lit? Mr. X, let's have one more time trying to tame that mop of hair. Okay, gentlemen, let's pray. Even in the ministry, even as we prepare for Mass, at different times we find ourselves having the dynamics of Mary and Martha both present. The old Mary and Martha feud, where different people take on different opinions over the centuries. One person thinking that Mary was right, one person thinking that Martha was right. In fact, several years ago when I preached on this passage, I had a conversation with a woman after Mass, and it went a little bit like this. What's wrong with being Martha? I didn't say there was anything wrong with being Martha. In fact, I thought she was doing a very important, there's nothing wrong with offering hospitality. I agree, but that was a part of my homily. I think Martha always gets the bum rap. I'm with you on that. Have a good day. And that was the end of it. But with all due respect to this lady and with other persons of like mind, there really is not a family feud going on. In the teaching of this section of the Gospel, St. Gregory, in fact, points out that we have really two dimensions of spiritual life that is at work at this point. You have action and contemplation, both of which are necessary. They're represented by two great women, both necessary, both are acts of devotion, and both of these women become saints. Now, I'd like us to look at this particular passage of Scripture through three different viewpoints that might help us to see what's really going on. We're going to look at it through the viewpoint of priorities, perspective, and patience. Well, let's start by looking at priorities. Now, it's obvious as we read this passage that Mary and Martha have very different priorities. We read that Martha, in fact, was distracted by much serving. An interesting word that Luke chooses, distracted by serving. It indicates that she was pulled away from something else. So the serving was a distraction. It was something that got in the way of something more important. And that's what happens a lot of times with priorities, because priorities are easy to define but hard to enforce. For example, we can easily define the priorities for a husband or a wife. You have, first, God is our highest priority, then our spouse, then our children, then our job or career. But enforcing those priorities are very hard. In fact, if we were ideally to live our lives according to that priority structure, we would have all of our time being spent either in prayer and daily Mass or time with our families or our children and little time in our jobs. In actuality, priorities come into play when determining when equal things, come up that have an equal tug on our time. At the point where there's an equal tug, the higher priority wins. Now, the higher priority should always win, but if the lower priority has a higher tug, it must take precedence. For example, we have to live, we have to eat, so we have to work. A lower priority, but it has to take our time. And this also contributes, of course, to higher priorities such as the common good of society. And in our passage, that's one of the things that we see is a conflict of priorities. Martha was saying, don't you care that my sister has left me alone to serve? She was operating out of her priorities and felt that having the meal prepared was the strongest tug on her time. The problem was she also imposed that on Mary as Mary's priorities as well. By the way, don't you think that it would have been just a little bit different in this passage if it said that, you know, instead of, don't you care that my sister, if she had just peeked her head around the corner and just said, hey, Mary, come here, can you give me a hand? But she didn't. Don't you care that my sister has left me alone? Jesus basically responded, no, I don't care. But he said it in a much nicer way than that. He said, Martha, you're troubled with so many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion. Our Lord didn't condemn hospitality. That was a high priority. He was condemning her anxiety and her distraction. She was being pulled away from him. Now, interestingly, the Greek word in the original structure for hospitality is philanthropia. That's hard to say in the morning. Philanthropia, which where we get our words philanthropy and philanthropist. Where, you know, you're a philanthropist. You're someone who gives. And the word really means the love of a human being. So philanthropy or hospitality is really given out of love. It is an act of love on behalf of someone else. It's a virtue that is proclaimed both the Old and the New Testament. In fact, our first reading, we have Abraham and Sarah scurrying everywhere just to serve these three heavenly visitors. They were showing that in the culture of the time, and in fact in all times, that hospitality was very important. A good host making a feast for the guest. In fact, a feast that is greater than anything that they would serve for their own family. So Martha was wanting to show her love. She wanted to be a philanthropist. But she was just going about it the wrong way. Mary, in fact, in her own way, was also offering hospitality, the love of a human being, by feasting on the word of the Lord. She knew who it was that was in her presence, and so she took time to just allow his words to come into her. As St. Paul said in our second reading, God chose to make known the riches of his glory of this mystery. The mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory, he said. So Christ was in the midst of her. How could she not but listen to his words? Well, Martha's problem then is that she had lost sight of what she was really doing. She also didn't understand her sister's response, which was not avoiding work, but rather embracing truth. This brings us to the second point of how to look at this, and that is perspective. Now, when I used to live in Kansas, we would travel from Kansas to Colorado for vacation, and we went to Estes Park, Colorado, and Rocky Mountain National Park, which is an incredibly beautiful spot. Now, one of the things that we would do when we'd get there is we would take Trail Ridge Road up to Alpine Ridge, which was a high elevation of about 13,000 feet. Trail Ridge Road, however, went up the mountain like this, and you were having woods on both sides. But every once in a while, you could come out to an overlook and see where you had come from. You could see the road winding down before you, and you could begin to see the vast expanse that was moving out in front. As you traveled up higher, the vision got more glorious. It was more exciting to see what was before you. That's perspective, to take and look in the larger picture. And perspective is really critical in this passage, because what Martha was lacking was not prioritization, but perspective. What was taking place? In fact, St. Augustine gives us the grander perspective of what she was doing when he said this: Martha was preparing what the Holy of Holies and his saints would be eating and drinking at her house. Mary was feasting on the bread of life. That's the grand perspective. That's the big picture. And this idea then is one of unifying both action and contemplation on the constant message of the greater picture of what's going on. In fact, St. Jose Maria Escriva, the founder of Opus Dei, was a firm believer in both action and contemplation being necessary in the lives of those who followed his teachings. And he says this: you must understand now more clearly, he said, that God is calling you to serve him, and from the ordinary material and secular activities of human life. There is something holy, something divine, hidden in the most ordinary situations, and it is up to each of us to discover it. Either we learn to find our Lord in ordinary everyday life, or else we shall never find him. That was the challenge to Martha, to look at the grand and the glorious in the ordinary. So whether we're involved in action or contemplation, we really have to know the why behind the what we're doing. This is gaining perspective. Now, the third viewpoint that we want to bring in at this moment is permission. Okay, if we understand the why and the who, if we understand the what that we're doing, then we can move on to really becoming who we are supposed to be. You see, we need to give ourselves permission that if we're Mary, if we're kind of Mary in most of the ways we do things, that we have to give room for a little bit of Martha to come in and be a part of us as well. The same with Martha. That if we're Martha, we've got to allow a little bit of Mary to get in there as well. Both are necessary, but both are very important to be in all of us. Now, Blessed John Henry Newman, one of our great saints who came from Anglicanism to Catholicism, used to say this about the passage. He says, "There remain two classes of Christians, those who are like Martha and those like Mary, and both of them glorify him in their own line, whether of labor or of quiet, in either case proving themselves to be not their own, but bought with a price, set on obeying and constant in obeying his will. If they labor, it is for his sake, and if they adore, it is still for the love of him." Now, while I agree with this great saint that we have people who are predominantly Marys and Marthas of all types, we really still need to have a bit of both so that we can allow what is dominant to be filled in with what is necessary. In addition, we've got the rule of Saint Benedict, which also talks a lot about balancing our life. In fact, Benedict had a phrase that he used a lot. He said, "Ora et labora," work and pray, or literally ora and labora is pray and work. And he allowed both and actually made sure that both were a part of everyday life for all of those who were involved in his order. So if you're the Martha type, you need to give yourself permission to spend some time in the contemplative realm. Be contemplative. Spend time with our Lord. Sure, there's a lot to do, but remember in whose presence you are serving and spend time getting to know him. At the same time, for Mary, you need to give yourself permission to spend some time kind of in the active realm when circumstances require it. You may actually help to free someone up to enjoy their time of contemplation and to help the Marthas to become more like Mary. As St. Augustine said, Mary was fully engaged in the business of the journey. It's so easy to be caught up in the business of what we're doing. But the important thing is not to forget the person for whom this journey is about. In his great series called In Conversation with God, Father Francis Hernandez writes about this passage of Scripture and really encourages us toward bringing these things together. He says, "We sanctify ourselves through our work. This is what really matters, to find Jesus in the midst of our daily concerns, and not to forget about the Lord of all things. And when in our daily tasks we are in some way directly related to him, we should make an even greater effort to live this unity of life. Otherwise, we'll end up doing what is in fact his work for ourselves, thereby neglecting the Master. We ask the Virgin to give us the diligence of Martha as well as the presence of God of Mary." So may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.